Christian. Next week, we'll start our Advent series, which we have titled The Most Anticipated Birth in History. Jesus Christ was, or the Messiah was anticipated long before he came, but it is the most anticipated birth in all of history. So if you've got a Bible with you, open to Ephesians chapter 6, and then we will pray. Let's just come before the Lord in prayer. Lord, you are a God who has revealed himself, a God who has spoken, a God who has made known to us your character, your will, your purposes, your determination to glorify yourself. You're a God who has extended to us the gift of prayer. The God who has said, respond to my grace. Come in Jesus Christ in the Spirit and commune with me. What a wonderful privilege it is to be able to come before the Lord confidently in Christ. To bring our requests, to bring our desires, to bring our delight, and to speak with you about these things. What a wonderful gift it is to be able to pray. Lord, we just pray as we think this morning about the urgency of prayer, that you would stir in us a deep desire to be prayerful people. Lord, we confess that so often our prayer is absent, our prayer is dry, our prayer is formal, our prayer is routine and without life. Lord, we just pray that as we are reminded of Paul's words in Ephesians 6 this morning, that you would stir in us a sense of the urgency of prayer. That as we go about our week, we would take every opportunity to pray, to come before the Lord as a duty and as part of the reality that makes us truly human. We ask for help in this in your Spirit's work, for your sake. Amen. Prayer, even for mature Christians, can easily lose its urgency. Even if you've been a Christian for years and years, whether you've been a Christian for 5 minutes or years, prayer can easily lose its sense of urgency. And that is why chapter 6, verse 18 to 20 of Ephesians is so important for us, because in the context of spiritual warfare, Paul is reminding us that to survive spiritually or succeed missionally, we need to pray. To survive spiritually or succeed missionally, we need to pray. It's not optional. It's not something that we do when we have nothing else better to do. It's not an optional add-on for mature Christians. It is something that we need to do. And the title of this sermon is you need to pray. We need to pray. Let's read Ephesians chapter 6, verse 18 to 20. See, the first word connects it with everything that has preceded this in verses 10 through 17. He says, praying at all times in the Spirit, with all prayer and supplication, to that end, keep alert, with all perseverance, making supplication for all the saints, and also for me, while you're praying, also for me, that words may be given to me in opening my mouth boldly to proclaim the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that I may declare it boldly as I ought to speak. The Bible has much to say about prayer. The Bible shows us what prayer looks like, especially in the Psalms, especially in the life of Jesus Christ himself. We see techniques or tips for how to pray in the Bible. Jesus says to the disciples, when you pray, pray like this. This is a technique that I want you to use. We're reminded of the intimacy of prayer, the awesomeness of prayer, the reverence that we are called to have when we pray, the joyfulness that prayer can give us. Today, we're reminded of the urgency of prayer. I want to see two things today. The first is that prayer is essential for spiritual survival. The second is that prayer is essential for missional effectiveness. First thing, prayer is essential for spiritual survival. It's important that we remember again here, when I say spiritual survival, it doesn't mean losing our salvation. The doctrine of perseverance is one of the sweetest doctrines we can cling to. God is the one who keeps us in his hand. We're talking about spiritual falling, spiritual failing, spiritual fruitlessness, spiritual survival. We need to pray. It is essential for spiritual survival. How do we see that the essential nature of prayer in this text? Well, first we see it by the very context that it sits in. When he's speaking of prayer here, he is connecting it to the whole section on spiritual warfare. In verse 10, he says, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Be strong in the Lord's strength. In verse 11, he says, put on the whole armor of God. Why? That you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. Now, finally, as we draw down to verse 18 and 19 and 20, we see connected to this, connected to the expectation that we would stand firm in this context, he says, pray in the Spirit. See, these three things are all meant to go together. Strength of the Lord, armor of God, and praying in the Spirit. They are in harmony with one another. They are in connection with one another. They interplay with one another. There is this mutual reliance upon each other. It's sort of a three-legged stool, and you cannot remove any of the legs without the stool falling over. So it reminds us, as urgently as we seek the strength of the Lord and as urgently as we seek to put on the armor of God, we must urgently pray in the Spirit. A deep-sea diver knows full well that to survive, he needs his wetsuit, he needs his oxygen, and he needs his fins. And to say that two of the three will suffice is stupidity, is silly, but it is more than that. It is somewhat suicidal. So it is with the Christian and his armor. We need the Lord's strength, the armor of God, and we need to be praying in the Spirit. With that in mind, with those three things in mind, ask yourself the question, what is the one leg of the stool that I am neglecting? If I was to look at my life and say, which of these things have I failed to diligently put in place or to go after prayerfully, what would it be? Which one am I prone to neglect? The second question, ask yourself, how are you cultivating all three concurrently? Do you see the necessity of the armor of God, the strength of the Lord, and prayerfulness in the Spirit? Are you cultivating those things in your life concurrently? It is with urgency that we need to go after these things, that we need to wear the armor of God. We see just how essential prayer is as we see it in its context. We also see the essential, urgent nature of prayer in the text itself. In verse 18, Paul says, praying at all times in the Spirit with all prayer and supplication. Here he's making a general prayer in prayer and a supplication, which is a request, more of a request type prayer, saying praying all times in the Spirit with all prayer and requests, if you like. The implication there, of course, is that you have a need. If you are requesting something, you have a need. He goes on, to that end, keep alert with all perseverance, making supplication for all the saints. In the context of spiritual warfare, in the context of a devil who is scheming against you, he says, be praying at all times. Another way of phrasing that is, take every opportunity to pray. Take every opportunity to pray in the Spirit. Pray in the car. Pray in the shower. Pray as you eat your breakfast. Pray as you talk. Pray as you think about engaging in conversation. Pray at work. Take every opportunity to pray. Pray before. Pray after. Pray as. Pray when life is good. Pray when life is bad. Pray when things are going smoothly. Pray when you're depressed, discouraged, filled with joy, elated. Pray at all times. Take every opportunity to pray. The implication, of course, is that you have a real spiritual need. You have a real spiritual need. That is why prayer is so essential for your real protection. Prayer is the means that God has given us to, that he has graciously given us to send radio requests for help. Prayer is a thing that we are so desperately dependent upon. This week we're reading, I think it was Psalm 4 at home, and I asked the boys, you know, what is prayer? If you ever want to get some interesting answers, ask your kids something that you think is very simple, and you'll often find that they have no idea what you're talking about. But I was expecting to hear from them when I asked, what is prayer? You know, talking to God or saying stuff to God or something that you do. But interesting, one of them surprised me by answering in this way. He said, prayer is asking God to do things we can't do. I was like, amen, son! Woo! I was kind of like, I should have been expecting something like that, but I was like, wow, that's cool, that's surprising. And that is not all that prayer is about. Prayer is much richer than that. But prayer is asking God to do things we can't do. Asking God to do things that we can't do. When we pray, we are asking God to do the thing we cannot do by preserving and keeping us. By preserving and keeping us from the schemes of the devil, the one who is more cunning and more powerful than we are. In Jesus' high priestly prayer in John 17, he says, keep them from the evil one. Preservation. He's praying to his Father, do something for them that they cannot do for themselves. The necessity of prayer, the urgency of prayer. The second thing that we can pick up on here in this text is that Paul reminds us to pray in the Spirit. What is amazingly encouraging about this is that when we pray in the Spirit, we know that we are going to be encouraged, enabled, and empowered. In Romans 8:26, we are reminded that it is the Spirit who helps us in our weakness. He helps us. He's the helper, helping you in your weakness in prayer, helping you in your weakness in saying no to temptation, helping you in your weakness to live a God-honoring life. He is helping you in your weaknesses, but particularly in prayer. Why? For we do not know what to pray for as we ought. But the Spirit himself intercedes with us, for us, with groanings too deep for words. And he who searches hearts knows what is the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. When you are praying in the Spirit, you are praying with the encouragement, endorsement, and help of the one who knows how perfectly to pray. Don't be discouraged. He is the one who the Lord is hearing. He is the one who the Lord knows. He is the one interceding for you. In the context of spiritual warfare, take every opportunity to bring your own needs and the needs of others before God in the Spirit. Paul also reminds us to keep alert, to persevere in prayer. In verse 18 again, at the end of that verse, he says, to that end, as well as with this too, keep alert with all perseverance, making supplication for all the saints. In the New Testament, this idea of keeping alert or being watchful is often spoken of in relation to Jesus' return. And the in-between time, the time between Jesus' ascension and his return, the in-between time, a time in between that provides the opportunity for the gospel message to go out to all the nations of the world, provides the opportunity for the kingdom to expand. It also provides the opportunity and time for Christians to grow cold and to fall into temptation. Jesus himself, speaking of his return in this watchfulness dynamic in Luke 21:34, he says, but watch yourselves. Keep alert, be watchful. Why? Lest your hearts be weighed down with dissipation or overindulgence and drunkenness and the cares of this life, and that day come upon you suddenly like a trap. He says, watch yourselves, lest your hearts become weighed down with your mortgages or the gym or the garden or your career. Be watchful. Be careful of your hearts, lest they overindulge, lest they become prone to drunkenness and the cares of this life. So he's saying, be watchful. As you live this life, as you await the return of Christ, the calling for us is to keep alert and to persevere in prayer. We're praying for ourselves and for one another, that we would maintain effectiveness and not fall into sin. We all know that the in-between time between Christ's ascension and his return, the temptation is to grow cold, passive, and dreary in our prayer. And Paul is saying, for your spiritual good, for your spiritual survival, for your spiritual vitality, you need to pray. Pray. You need to pray. The second thing that we see that reminds us of the urgency of prayer is that prayer is essential for mission success. The reality that we see so often through the Bible is that mission activity will remain fruitless without the mission empowerment of God, without the work of the Spirit. Jesus makes this so clear for us that we need God to empower mission. In Matthew 9, verse 37 to 38, he said to his disciples, the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. We all know that part, don't we? We all know that part of the verse. So we recognize there's a real need. We know that there is a real missional need in this world for laborers to go and reap the harvest. But what does Jesus say in this context? He doesn't say panic. He doesn't say take it upon your own shoulders to reproduce disciples as though it is all in your hands. He doesn't say give up. He says pray. I've never really noticed just how particularly Jesus responds to this. He says, the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray earnestly. Pray earnestly to the Lord to send out laborers into his harvest. It is the Lord who sends laborers into his harvest. He says, pray. Jesus makes this clear that God is the one who empowers mission in John 3, verse 3 to 5, where he makes it clear that without the work of the Spirit, regeneration doesn't happen. The person who is unable to see and understand is unable to enter the kingdom of God by believing the gospel. It says in verse 3 of John chapter 3, Jesus speaking to Nicodemus, he says, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." Verse 5, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God." He's saying, I need to do a work in the heart before we can see and before we can enter. It is my initiative. It's my initiative and mission. And that is why if you are here and you're seeking to know the Lord and to understand the gospel, I just urge you, please pray, Lord, give me a heart to see, eyes to see, and a heart to understand the gospel. God needs to empower mission for mission effectiveness. Now, it's clear that Paul appreciated this because in his prayer, he asked for the Lord to move. He knew that every word, every single word, and the confidence to say them needed to be given to him from the Lord for his mission to be successful. Verse 19, he says, "While you're praying," this is the greatest evangelist in all of church history, asking them to pray for him. And he says this, "As you're praying, and also for me, that words may be given to me in opening my mouth boldly to proclaim the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that I may declare it boldly as I ought to speak." If you look at it carefully, if you look at this text, you see him ask for two particular things. The first one is words. He says, "Pray for me that words may be given to me." He needs to have the words that come out of his mouth be empowered and inspired by God himself. He's saying, "Pray for me." Verse 20, "that I may declare it boldly." He's praying for the confidence to say it. Pray for me for words and confidence. He knew that he needed God's enabling power for the desired outcome of evangelism, that people would come to know the Lord, and he knew that prayer was the means that the Lord had given for us to seek that power. We know that God, of course, is capable of working outside of our prayer. The whole story of redemptive history is one of God's purposefulness, deliberateness, graciousness, despite man. But at the same time, we know that he has given us missional prayer as the usual means through which he will work. What an incredibly humbling thing to know that the Lord is prepared to use your prayers for his glory, to use your prayer to bring or to draw people or to make effective the work of God in someone's heart. He is prepared to use your prayer. What a humbling thing. And what an inspiring thing. When you come before the Lord in prayer, you are coming before the mighty power of the universe, asking him to do things you cannot do for yourself. And he's saying, "I'm prepared to use them if it is my will." You ask. It's so inspiring to know that the Lord can use those prayers for his glory. We must ask the Lord for mission help. John Piper put it like this as he spoke about prayer. He says, "Prayer is primarily," and this is a typical Piper overstatement, but we love those. "Prayer is primarily a wartime walkie-talkie for the mission of the church as it advances against the powers of darkness and unbelief. It's primarily a wartime walkie-talkie for the mission of the church as it advances against the powers of darkness and unbelief. He's saying, as the church goes forward seeking to bring people out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light, this is the walkie-talkie you have with the Father, the means of communicating with Him, saying, Lord, help, and Lord, I need you. And Lord, please send relief. Piper goes on, he says, it is not surprising that prayer malfunctions when we try to make it a domestic intercom to call upstairs for more comforts in the den. Until you know that life is war, you cannot know what prayer is for. Prayer is for the accomplishment of a wartime mission. Doesn't that elevate prayer to a new level? Prayer is not asking God for more pillows in the den. Well, it can be in some senses, and sometimes we need that comfort from the Lord, but prayer is more at least. Prayer is asking God to do the miraculous impossible, to mobilize an army of ordinary men and women and use their fumbling, mumbling words and testimonies to bring people into an eternal relationship with God. It is so much more. It is so much bigger. It is so much better. What this all means for us is that we can share the best testimony, the most eloquent gospel presentation. We can be out every night of the week doing gospel work. We can plead the case of Christ. We can promote the glory of Christ. We can preach 1,000 sermons. And without the work of the Spirit, our words are powerless. Conversely, you can say something reasonably mediocre with a scratching of gospel grace in it, and God, through His power, can bring someone into the kingdom through that work. That is the most profoundly humbling thing about prayer. We urgently need the help of God in mission, even down to the very word selection, even down to the very word that we say, the very tone that we carry, the text that is brought to our mind, the illustration that we use, and for the confidence to speak, for words to say, and the confidence to say it. Prayer is essential for our mission endeavor. Without the work of the Lord, there will be no success. Listen to the way that Paul prayed to the Ephesians in chapter 3. Chapter 3, verse 14. For this reason I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth is named. And this is what he's praying for, verse 16. That according to the riches of His glory, He may grant you to be strengthened with power through His Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may have strength to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. He says, out of the richness of God's graciousness and the richness of God's resources, I'm praying that you would have the fullness of God, that you'd be filled with the fullness of God. Ambitious, huh? But he's praying, and he sees the value of prayer, and he knows that the Lord will work through prayer. Prayer is the means by which we can communicate with God. It is a duty and a privilege. In prayer, we are calling on the divine to use His infinite power and resources to accomplish great things in this world. He has graciously given it to you and reminds us that it is a necessity for your spiritual survival. He has graciously invited you into His missional work through prayer. You need to pray. for you as you think about your life, think about your devotional life. Pursue prayer. Prioritize prayer and persevere in prayer. For you as you cultivate environments in your homes or your flats or wherever you live, make those places a place of prayerfulness. Let your homes be filled and fueled by prayer. For us as a church, let us take opportunities to pray together. Take opportunities to pray together. We have a prayer meeting every Sunday morning at 9:30, and it can be one of the most faith-fueling times of my week. We pray, and we ask of God big and impossible things. We say, God, change the city. We say, God, change our heart. We say, God, give us an appreciation for the gospel. And it is a faith-stirring time of the week. It is also a thing that the Lord has promised to move through. Join us for pre-church prayer. Get out of bed early. Have a coffee later. Whatever it takes, join us if you can. Prioritize church services. When we pray, it is not one person praying on behalf of a church who sit there and listen uninvolved. It is praying on behalf of a church that sits and says, Amen, Lord Jesus, do your work. Come and pray with us at our church services. Get involved in discipleship or growth group, our monthly mission prayer nights. There is opportunity to pray. We're not wanting to burn people out by overburdening people. We just long that we would see the importance of prayer and that it would manifest itself in our tangible calendars, our tangible priorities. Prioritize prayer. Be careful for the creep of spiritual coldness as we await Christ's return. Pray. Let's do so. We long, Lord, that you would renew our hearts, that you would renew the hearts of the people we love and care for. We long, Lord, that you would do a miraculous work in Christchurch. We long that you would do the impossible. We long that you would do the impossible, and we're asking you to do it, Lord God. You're the only one we can come to with impossible requests, because you are the God of all of reality. You're the God of the universe, and it is by your power that you do great things. You have brought us into your kingdom by your power, and we're asking that, Lord, primarily you would continue to bring people into your kingdom. Give us a new affection. Give us a new delight in prayer. Give us a new disciplineness with prayer. Forgive us for our weakness in prayer, and forgive us more, Lord, for the disbelief we have in you that pushes us away from prayer. That means that our prayers are stale and dry and cold. We long, Lord, to be a praying church. We long, Lord, to be praying people. We need your help, and we need to know the work of the Spirit in us. Lord, we've looked at this spiritual warfare now for several weeks. Lord, help us to never forget the context, the reality that Paul speaks of. Help us to have a sense of urgency, and help us to have a sense of confidence that when we are in the strength of the Lord, wearing the armor of God, and praying in the Spirit, that we are truly able to be kept safe by your grace. In Jesus' name, amen.